Philippians. Go ahead and turn there as we get started. We're going through our sermon series, Philippians, What Lies Ahead. This is week number 3, and you know, when you think of certain books, I've said this probably before, you don't think of Philippians as that gripping, you know, that it's just dripping with goodness and wisdom and a lot to learn. But it really is. You know, this is one of those books that I have really personally been blessed by as I was going through, as I was studying it. And hopefully you're being blessed by it as well. There's a lot of good stuff in here that we can really, really dig into. This is, of course, the letter that Rob Shaul, the Apostle Paul, spoke or wrote to the new congregation that was in Philippi on the shores of Europe. We know Philippi was the first European congregation ever. And the congregations before were in Israel, of course, in the Middle East and Asia Minor. So this is the first one that's in Europe. It's right there in the Macedonia area, modern-day Macedonia, Greece area. So he was writing this letter to these European Philippians, encouraging them, teaching them, helping them as they started up this young congregation that they had. Now remember, Philippi was one of those cities. It was not very important. It wasn't like, you know, Rome. It wasn't like Corinth. It didn't have a lot of mass appeal and a lot of power as far as that goes in the Roman Empire. And in fact, it was not insignificant, but it wasn't as significant, as I said, to the point where in most of these significant cities like Rome, like Corinth, there was a sizable Jewish population. There was not a sizable Jewish population in Philippi. So if you remember from week number 1, what Shaul's practice was to first go to the Jewish synagogue, you know, Romans 1, to the Jew first and then the Gentile. He would go to the Jewish synagogue and reason with them and show them through the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, that Yeshua was in fact the Messiah, is the Messiah. And then he would go to the Gentiles as well and share with them. He couldn't go to the Jewish synagogue because there was none. So it says that he went by the water, by the ocean area, and that's where he found the first congregants. That's where he found Lydia and some of the other people that formed this congregation, which was still kind of in its infancy. It was still kind of growing and developing. And he was writing this letter to encourage them. And he was encouraging them, but the interesting thing is, at the time that he's writing the letter, at the time he's encouraging the Philippians, he's going through some struggles of his own. He's most likely, most scholars believe, he was under house arrest in Rome. And we talked last week about how he couldn't go freely and how he couldn't do the work that he was called to do, was to physically go to the Jewish synagogues and then to the non-Jews and proclaim the name of Yeshua. But he was doing that through his letters. And he was doing that through his witness. And because of his witness, as we talked about last week, he was able to even have a bigger influence than just going there with his feet, you know, just going there and preaching. So he had some struggles. He was constricted from going and doing the thing which he was supposed to be doing, his calling. But he had such joy, even under these circumstances, even under house arrest in Rome. He had such joy that he was conveying to the Philippians. He was in these chains, yet he was thinking about other people. He was thinking about this young congregation that he had planted, that he had started up. And last week we talked about how it's all, what he's trying to say to them, listen, it's all about Yeshua. It's all about the Messiah. It's not about us. It's not about what we can do. It's not about who you are, Philippians, how great you are, even how small you are. Because remember, it wasn't a very big congregation. It wasn't a very big metropolitan area in the Roman Empire, even though it was part of the Roman Empire. It's not about us. It's about God. Not about who we are. It's about who he is. It's all about the Lord and what he can and he will do through each and every one of you, Philippians, and each and every one of us today. He works with us and through us in good times and bad, good circumstances and bad circumstances. We saw that the Lord can use us and work through us in spite of our circumstances, our issues, our shortcomings, and our problems. In fact, and this is the key last week, is our shortcomings actually lead us to the Lord. your shortcomings can actually proclaim the Lord. Think of the shortcoming that Paul had, Shaul had. He was in chains. But through that, he was able to really show the Lord through Yeshua to many, many people. And our shortcoming, you know, he had a thorn in his side, whatever that meant exactly. He had something that was hindering him as well, physically or spiritually. We have thorns in our side. We have issues. We have problems, some that were caused by us and some that are put on us by other people or other or situations or whatever it might be. So just like Shaul, we have those shortcomings. We have those chains. We have that bondage sometimes in our lives, but that can point us to Messiah. You know why? Because that points us to the need for Yeshua. Because guess what? It's all about Yeshua, right? So I'm going through the book of Judges now in my personal devotionals, and I wanted to share this. I thought this was really interesting. You know, the book of Judges can be summarized. Basically, it's an interesting book. It's a historical book, obviously, of the time period right after Joshua brings the children of Israel into the promised land after all that time. Between them and between that period of time and the monarchy. So it's the time of when the judges ruled. And the real driving thought behind Judges, or the theme to me, at least to me, is a pattern of how they followed and then forgot God, and followed and forgot God, and followed and forgot God. And it's interesting because to me that parallels us as humans. We follow God and forget God. We follow God and forget God. We follow God and forget God. And through that, we have to learn that we think we're all that, right? We think we have so much. We think we're so great. We can go out and do this, or we can go out and do that. But we have to remember, even at our best, we're going to forget God sometimes. We're going to follow God, and then we'll stumble. Whether it's, again, through our own means, our own doing, or other people doing it to us. So we have to remember that we're not perfect. And the book of Judges teaches us that, is that you could get everything you want. You could go into that promised land with milk and honey. You can have your family, your tribe there. You can be hanging out in the land, and it was all about going into the land. And then you could forget about God, right? So we have to be careful that we don't forget about God. And we will tend to do that. So it's all about Yeshua, not us, because if it was all about me, I would forget God. We need Yeshua in our life. We need to live for Yeshua, and it's all about Yeshua. Let's turn to Philippians. Our passage today is chapter 1, verse 27, through chapter 2, verse 11. And this message today, for us, for all of us, is about two things: striving and growing. Striving and growing. That's what we're talking about today. This is what I want us to get out of the passage. These are the themes that Shaul is emphasizing. Striving and growing. Number one, we need to move forward. We need to strive forward in our spiritual walk. And number two, we need to look to Yeshua as our example. We need to grow in the Lord. Okay, so I want you to remember those two things, striving and growing, as we go through. The first verse is on the screen, Philippians 1:27. This is really going to be our key verse this morning to talk about. We're going to keep coming back to this verse. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Messiah, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So we could spend about 3 hours on that verse right there. And I want to talk about that and kind of break that down a little bit. The NIV translation, that was the New King James. I'm always quoting from the New King James. It's not because the New King James is the definitive. It's because I just like the New King James. You may like another translation, but the NIV translation says, instead of it only let your conduct be worthy, it says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy. Very interesting. Whatever happens, in good circumstances, in bad circumstances, when you're being chased by Abimelech, or when you're in chains in Rome, or whether you're high on the mountaintop and everything's going great, you just got into the promised land, no matter what, let your conduct yourselves in a manner worthy. You know, too many times when we think things happen to us because we did something wrong. You ever been like, thought like that? Oh, this happened to me because I must be sinning. I must be forgetting God about something. I must have some sin in my life. Maybe I don't know what it is. Maybe it's deep down sin. You know, I had someone this week email me. I get a lot of people that contact me in various ways, and you know, people struggle with things. I struggle with things too. And this person, one of the questions was, you know, if things happen to me in my life that are bad, is it because I did something wrong? Is it because of sin? And that's a really interesting question, because we tend to simplify things sometimes too much. If something bad happens to me, it's because I did something wrong. What did I do? I got to find out what I did. But we know that, and I didn't write it down here. I didn't write the scripture down but it is a powerful, it's in the book of John. And I think it's John chapter 9. There's a story, I should have written it in here, but there's a story about a family that comes to Yeshua, right? And they say, Yeshua, please tell us. And it was their son was blind, okay? Didn't have any sight. Who sinned, the boy or his parents, that he was born blind? Right? Because something is wrong with this boy. There must be sin going on. And Yeshua says to them, neither he nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that God's will and God's work might be done in his life. So sometimes things happen to you. Sometimes things happen to me. And it's not because we did something wrong. It's because God needs to work in our lives. You know, you could have things going on that are totally beyond your control, whatever it may be. You could have done everything possible and something bad still happened. Maybe it's not because you sinned. Now, it could be, but it's a dangerous theology to believe that just because I did something wrong, or I think I might have done something wrong and I sinned, something bad's going to happen. Or the flip side is, if something bad happens, it's because of sin. That's too simplistic, and that's not scriptural. So John 9 kind of refutes that. But whatever happens to you in good or bad circumstances, in all of those times, let your conduct be worthy. Don't be double-minded is also what it kind of is saying. Don't be double-minded. Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, we need to be, in all circumstances, we need to have our conduct be worthy of the gospel of Messiah. And if we're thinking on the world standards, we are leading ourselves towards death. But if we are being spiritually minded, it is leading us to life and peace. And we know Yeshua gives that eternal life. The spiritually minded life we are talking about, you know, I want you to catch this, goes back to our verse, is one of faith. The spiritually minded, the kind that leads to life, is based on faith. If you had to sum up one word about what we're about, what word would you choose? Like, what are believers all about? Some people, what are messianic believers all about, right? What are we all about at Karen Orr, individually and as a congregation? Some people would say it's about observance, right? Because we observe a lot of things, right? Shabbat, Passover, all these different things. You know, we sell it. Shabbat is a big one. Some might choose the word truth. You know, there's truth here. We preach the truth. We're trying. You know, Messianic Judaism is all about going back 2,000 years to the context of Yeshua, the context of scriptures, which is inherently Jewish. So truth is important. That's not the word I would use to describe us, nor would it be observant. The one word I would use to categorize our lives as followers of Yeshua is faith. It should be faith. We are people of faith. It's not about what we do. It's about the faith that we have. It's about the trust in God that we have. It's that trust based on our father Abraham. When Abraham was called righteous, it was because of his trust, not because of his works. We have to remember that. We're people of faith. And we're going to get back to Philippians 1. Can you put Philippians 1:27 back up there? Thank you. Striving together for the faith of the gospel, not the truth of the gospel, not the observance of the gospel. The faith, that's the word that should describe us. Faith is faith that when we couldn't be observant enough, faith that when our hearts were deceitful above all things, faith that when we mess up, Yeshua died for our sins. We have that faith. We can never do this on our own if we have faith in ourselves. It's about faith in the Lord. And that faith is Yeshua living on us now. We have a new life in Yeshua. It's all about having faith in that. So the verse is, let's strive. Let's move forward full of faith. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Messiah, so that whether I come or see you or I'm absent, this is Shaul talking, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast with one spirit, with one mind, striving together, moving forward for the faith of the gospel. Okay, so we're striving forward in faith. And there's one more thing in this verse. One spirit, one mind, right? Standing fast together, unified in one spirit and one mind. That's the third part of this verse we need to look at. Do we think that as a body of Messiah today, we have one spirit? Do we think that? You don't have to answer that. Just think in your head. Answer in your head. Do we think that we have one mind as the body of Messiah? I'm talking about Jewish and Gentile, the body of Messiah, Christian churches, Messianic synagogues, all the believers and followers of Yeshua. Do we really have one spirit and one mind? Do you think that even in the Messianic movement, right? The Messianic movement is much smaller than the overall body of Messiah. Do you think in the Messianic movement we have one spirit and one mind? We're always on the same page about everything? I don't think so. We're not. Do you think that Karen Orr all the time is in one mind and one spirit together? Do you think that even in your own home you always have one mind and one spirit about everything? I don't think so. Most of the time, maybe. We'll give you the benefit of the doubt most of the time. But you know, it's hard to be in one spirit and one mind. But this is exactly what the verse is telling us. Okay? Let's jump ahead to Philippians 2:2. Go to Philippians 2:2. I'm going to be jumping around a little bit in this passage, but it's all mixed up together and it all says the same thing to us. Striving and growing. Fulfill my joy, this is Shaul talking to the Philippians, by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now, some of you old-time religion people, you hear that, all I hear is one mind and one accord. Have you ever heard that before? Being in one mind, that's the verse that it comes from. Being in one mind and one accord, one spirit, together, in unity. That's what it means. It's a catchphrase, you know, in these believing circles. But being of one mind and one accord is actually very, very important. How important is it? Let's go back to Philippians 2:1 now and look at one verse before. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Messiah, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, and then he goes on to say, be of one mind and one accord. That's pretty important. If there is any, Shaul is saying, if we can do anything right as believers, as a congregation, as a body, as a movement, if we can do anything right, we should be bound together in unity. We should be in one mind, in one accord. Now, that doesn't mean we always have to agree with each other on every single thing. Shaul had problems with Peter, right? If you read the book of Galatians, you'll find out that he and Peter had some problems. Shaul had problems with Barnabas. If you read Acts 15:39, you'll see that they even had to part ways. They were so upset at each other. And they were upset over Mark. There were problems. He had problems in his life. As I said last week, I can picture the Apostle Paul as a very much a type A person who sometimes doesn't come up to you and give you the warm fuzzy, how you doing, brother? It was more like, all right, let's talk about some problems you got going on. You know, he's that type of a personality. There's nothing wrong with that. We all have different personalities. But he got into disagreements. He had problems with people. Guess what? You do too. We do. We have problems within the congregation sometimes. There's problems in the Messianic movement sometimes. There's problems in the body of Messiah. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the unity of the Messiah that binds us all together. Turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. The binding is the love of Messiah. It's not the agreement all the time on every single thing. The unity, the one spirit, the one mind and one accord is having a unity of the love of Yeshua. Look at a few verses later, 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death to life. Why? Because we love the brethren. We love each other. he who does not love his brother abides in death. The verse does not say he who gets along all the time and makes sure that he makes peace all the time. You know, Ecclesiastes says there's a time for peace and a time for war. You have to understand that we're not always going to agree with each other, and that's okay. But we all need to always be in agreement of the love of Messiah and the unity that we have in Messiah Yeshua together. That's what it's all about. And Philippians 2:1 and 2:2 is explaining that to us. If there's anything else we do right, it's to have that unity of the love of the Messiah together, striving together for the kingdom of God. We all are here for the same purpose. We're not here because the bagels are great, even though the bagels are great. We're not here because it's a wonderful country club atmosphere and it's fun to talk with friends every week, although that's great. We're here because of the love of Messiah that has redeemed us and that we come together to fellowship, to worship and praise the one who's redeemed us, and to get filled up so we can go out in the world and share the love of Messiah that is in us. That's what it's all about. And it's fueled by faith, as we said, but it's being in one mind and one accord. There's so many verses in 1 John that talk about love and unity. Go home and read it. It'll take you like 5 seconds because they're so short. But 1 John, 2 John, 3 John is all about that kind of stuff. The point is we need to live in harmony with each other in the Messiah. We need to have one mind and one accord. That's the mind of Messiah, the mind of striving together. Now, I want to mention something and get on my soapbox about something for a minute, you know, something that was really kind of stirred in me this week, is that we can't be striving together. We can't be unified together. We can't be in faith working out things together if we're not together. Does that make sense? It's like a Yogi Berra-ism, right? We can't do those things if we're not together. You know, you've heard people say, well, I don't need to go to services anywhere. I'm okay with, you know, watching the live stream of so-and-so's congregation, which there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying that's not striving together. It's not striving together to get all of your information from the internet, although there's some good information on the internet, but to watch TV or read the internet or do the live streaming or I get together and have coffee with another believer. That's not striving together. That's fellowshipping, but that's not striving together as a congregation. We need to make sure that we are wherever you are. I'm not saying you all got to come to Karen. Everybody has to come to Karen Orr. What I'm saying is people should be in a local congregation striving together because we have to be doing this together. It's all about doing this together. We can't strive together for the faith of the gospel if we're not being together. And there's so many excuses in today's world. I'm so busy. Oh, I have so much to do. The kids have soccer or this or that and the other. You know, or I listen to podcasts. I do the online forums. I do the web streaming. But we need to meet together. Look at Hebrews 10:25 with me. Do not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now that's pretty unequivocal to me that, and this is the writer of Hebrews, which is most likely Shaul. We don't know for sure who the writer of Hebrews was, okay? But he's saying, don't forsake meeting together. Why? Because it's fun to get together? Like I said, because the bagels are good? No, because this is how we strive. This is how we grow, striving and growing. This is how we do it. It's great to read your Bible and pray every day. You got to do that. But you've got to be in community. You've got to grow. You've got to hear people. You've got to talk to people, speak into people's life. You know, you have to be in community together. We come to service to learn, to grow, to strive together. It can be applied individually. You know, we got to strive individually. We got to grow individually. But also collectively, the problem is in our culture, in America, in 21st century, whatever, and especially in America, we have this thing called rugged individualism, where we can just go out there. It's like I always picture, you know, Tom Cruise, right? Going out in the Old West and staking down. You ever seen the movie, right? What's the name of that movie? Far and Away. Thank you very much. In Far and Away, there's always the picture of Tom Cruise going out. He was from Ireland, right? came to America to find a better way. And all of our ancestors came to America to find a better way. But it's not about just rugged individualism. Actually, rugged individualism was a pretty foreign concept in ancient times. As I mentioned, I'm going through the book of Judges. And listen, I was struck by something as I read through Judges. Very interesting. When the Bible describes the children of Israel in the land, it describes them several times as a congregation. I don't know if you caught that, if you've ever read that, the book of Judges. They're described as a congregation, referring to the children of Israel. They were a community. They were a congregation. All the tribes were a congregation together. It was communal living. It was living together. It was worshiping together. They would get together at Shiloh and they would worship the Lord. They would assemble together when the shofar sounded. It's about community. We don't have that concept sometimes in America these days. I'm not saying that you have to tell me all of your problems and I have to make sure I tell you, brush your teeth at this time of the day and go over here and do that. You know, it's not about that. That's cultish. What I'm talking about is we get together, we share with each other, we live our lives together communally, spiritually. There's an aspect of that I think we're missing in today's world. We lost a lot of that in the postmodern world. Go to Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. You know, sometimes as believers, we can get selfish. We can look out for our interests. We can, you know, take it all in and receive and receive and receive. But we've got to give too. That's another reason to be part of a community. You got to give out. People need your gifts and your talents just as much as you need to receive it from other people. But let nothing be done out of selfish ambition. These are Shaul's words. Remember, he's writing this letter to encourage this young congregation, much like these words should be encouraging to us as a young congregation. But in lowliness of mind, let's esteem each other better than ourselves. Let each of us look not only for our own interests, but also for the interests of others. That can only be done if we're together in one mind and one accord, striving together in faith. So that's the striving part. So I want to turn now to the second aspect today is Yeshua is our example, right? The growing part, the looking at Yeshua as our example. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Messiah Yeshua, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming into the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now, this is a powerful scripture here. There is something in our lives as believers in this world today that's missing in our consciousness as believers. The single biggest danger for us as believers, as followers of Yeshua, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say this, it's not the devil, it's not ISIS, it's not the evils of the internet, it's not pornography, it's not tobacco, or anything else that's bad, right? It's us, it's you and me. Greatest danger to us as believers today is us. We are our own worst enemies. Why? Because we constantly believe that we deserve something. Because we constantly believe that we're owed something. You know, we feel like we're owed something in this world. We believe, and here this is the thing. We believe that life should be fair, right? We are owed something and life should be fair. We struggle with God like Jacob wrestled with God, don't we, about these things. But we don't realize what we're doing. You ever do this, you know, as you're going through something, you make deals with God. God, you know what? I'll follow you more, but you've got to show me that you're better than what's over here that I've been involved in. You got to show me that your joy is better than the joy I've gotten from this fill in the blank, right? Whatever it is, I've got to quit smoking. You got to show me, God, I can do this. You got to show me it's better on the other side. We tend to negotiate with God because I deserve to have something good in my life. I deserve something better. You promise me these things, and I deserve it, God. As we go through things, we make these deals with God. I will stop hanging out with those people if you'll hang out with me more, God. If you'll give me more of your presence. I don't feel you enough, right? People say that all the time. I don't feel you enough. Lord, give me more. More of you. And look, it's good to say, give me more of you. But it's bad to say, I'll give this up if you give me this, right? That's, if you think about that for a minute, do we do that in our lives sometimes? Do we kind of believe that we deserve something from God? Or we deserve something even from our congregation? Or we deserve something from our job? Or we deserve something from our family? We feel like we're entitled to something. That's our biggest enemy, I think. Why is it our biggest enemy? You know, Yeshua is our example, right? And what does it say at the end? I'm going to read that scripture. Let's go to the next scripture I have there, which is Philippians 2:8. This is the thing here. What did Yeshua do? He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Yeshua could have said, listen, I have come and they're not treating me very good, Father. You know, I have come to my kingdom and they're putting me on this cross. I have come and they're giving me lots of suras. You know, they're giving me lots of problems. Can you believe the Pharisees? Can you believe these people? This is what I have to deal with. I deserve better than this. I'm the Messiah. I'm the King. He didn't say that. He became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. The single biggest problem we have as believers, in my humble opinion, is that we have such a hard time dying to ourselves. We have such a hard time dying to ourselves. If Yeshua is our example, and he died, literally, you know, and he would constantly be dying to the flesh and dying to, I mean, he never sinned, we know that, but he was tempted, we know that. So we have to constantly follow that example of Yeshua and die. We got to die to our ambitions. We got to die to our dreams and goals. Oh, but wait a minute, Rabbi, that's crazy. Aren't we supposed to have dreams and goals? Here's the thing. We need to die to our flesh and let the Lord raise us up in Yeshua to do what he has for us to do. And I truly believe if we all do that, every one of us, that our dreams and goals will become the Lord's dreams and goals, or meaning that God's dreams and goals you'll feel as your dreams and goals. You know, let die to yourself, and as you are raised up in Yeshua, he will give you the desires of your heart because your heart's going to desire him. You'll be aligned with God. You'll be in unity in one mind and one accord with God. You'll want the things God wants, and you'll not want the things that God doesn't want. That's what it's all about. And that's the biggest block. I mean, so many times, and a lot of times it's with young people too, because I'm a young person still, I think. And, you know, I have dreams and goals and things that I want to do in my life. But God, what if I really die to myself? Then I can't have this fun or I can't do this thing. It's not about that. We have to get rid of that mentality. We have to die to ourselves. Faith is believing without seeing. What we are saying when we say, I deserve this, God, or, you know, I really want this in my life, God, can you make this happen? Is we want to see it and then we'll believe. But faith is believing without seeing, okay? It's saying when you're the children of Israel and you're going towards the water, you know, the Red Sea or whatever it is, when the priest's foot stepped in the water, then it parted. It wasn't, and you know, a lot of commentaries, a lot of the traditional rabbis will say that the first man that walked in, he actually went into like his waist or his neck of water, and then it parted. We have to be willing to step out on the water like Peter stepped out on the water with Yeshua. We have to be willing to step out, and then the Lord will part the water. But it's not going to be like, okay, there's the edge. Part the waters, I'll see everything's cool, and then I'll walk. That's not how faith works. That's not how it works. That's a little bit backwards. But that's what we want a lot of times as believers, unfortunately. Philippians 2, 10 and 11, last two scriptures today. That at the name of Yeshua, every knee should bow of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth. and that every tongue should confess that Yeshua the Messiah is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Listen, Yeshua can't be our Lord if we're our lords. Yeshua can't be your Lord if you still want rights to yourself. Yeshua can't be our Lord if we still want to do these things and we want, you know, our piece of the pie, so to speak. This is a hard message, but this is a really easy message. You know, we have to be willing to lay our lives down. Yeshua is our example. You know, it's about striving and growing, I said. And the growing part is, yes, Yeshua is our example. But the way you grow in Yeshua is you follow the example of Yeshua, is you die to yourself. And then Yeshua can start working in you. And then the Lord can start working in you. Yeshua, our example, died. How much more should we die spiritually? Should we die to our own flesh and ambitions? And just as Yeshua was exalted, I believe God will exalt us to a point of sonship, of part of his kingdom, of a mansion reserved for us in heaven. But it first means to die. That's what it means. Are we willing to move forward with God today? Are we willing to strive and grow? Are we willing to die to ourselves? It involves simply taking a first step of faith. Let's just bow our heads. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you, when I asked for things in the past, when I wanted and thought I deserved things, Lord, that you didn't give it to me. And I'm thankful, Lord, that I had to learn to die. And then you can start working. And then you started working in my life. Lord, I pray for our congregation that we would all realize that it is about striving and growing. Striving together in unity and in faith and growing, knowing our example, Yeshua, and following that example that we have to die to ourselves. Lord, help this to sink in today that we need to give our lives up to you, that we need to follow the example of Yeshua and say, Lord, here's my life. Here's my dreams and goals. I'm laying it at your feet. That is what it's about. It's not about the ooey-gooey love, and it's fun all the time, and the abundant life in Yeshua. That's true. There's abundant life in you, Lord. But it's about first dying. Praise you, Lord. So if there's anyone here today that hasn't really died, hasn't really said, Lord, I need to give up my rights of myself to you, right now, Lord God, stir it in their heart. And if this is the first time for you, or if you have done that and maybe you kind of slip back, you know, like in the book of Judges, you were following God and then now you're forgetting about God. And you're wanting to come back. If anyone for the first time or for the 1,000,000th time is returning to you, Lord, if that is you today, just stand up. Just stand up really quickly and acknowledge before the Lord that you want to die to yourself. Hey, maybe you're doing everything right and you just want to die again today. You can just stand up and I'm just going to pray right now. Lord, touch each and every heart that stood up and even those that are not standing up, Lord God. And I pray that you give us that passion for you. Give us that faith, Lord God, to lay it all down for you. We don't need to be afraid, Lord God, because we know that you are good. Lord, you are good. And your love endures forever. So, Lord, we stand before you in faith and just lay it down at your feet, our King. And we ask you, Lord, you're going to take our lives and raise us up to do what you've asked us to do, Lord God, to live better, Lord God, to live with a humbleness about ourselves, to live with a vision to exalt you in all areas of our lives. Lord, I just thank you right now, and I just pray for each and every person here that you would touch their hearts, that you would renew them, Lord God, in Yeshua today. We thank you, Lord God. Let's all stand. Look, we all have things going on in our lives. We all have problems and thorns in our side, and I'm going to say today, if you need prayer for anything in your life or someone else's life, if you want to stand in for someone, if you want to have that faith more, to die to yourself, then you can come right up here and we're going to pray for you. We're going to anoint you and we're going to pray for you. I don't do this every week, but I just felt this week with this message that God was speaking to us that, Lord, he wants to do something big in your life, and he wants to do something big in Karen Orr. And I believe that it starts with us dying to ourselves. It starts with us laying down our talents before the Lord, laying down our lives before the Lord. So if you want a special touch, or you have a physical issue going on, or whatever, if you want to come up, you can just come up right here in the front. We're going to pray for you. We're going to ask the Lord to just touch you with that healing touch. If you need extra faith today, if you have financial problems, if you have family problems, whatever it is, God is bigger than our problems. And as we lay them down before him, he will take them and he will be our Lord. He'll take care of them for us. So just come on up now if anybody needs prayer, and we're just going to anoint you. Lord God, we just thank you so much. You are good and your love endures forever. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Yes, Lord. We're just going to pray for everybody here. Lord, I just pray that you would touch everybody. If it's a physical issue, Lord God, if it's a spiritual issue, an emotional issue, anything, Lord God, we know that you can part mountains, Lord God, and you are the God of the impossible. Even though something has been going on maybe for 20 years, 30 years, chronic pain, family issues, unresolved issues, Lord, you can take it and you can fix it. You can heal it. We need to have the faith to know that, Lord. And I just pray right now for everybody here that you would give them a special touch. And for everybody out in the congregation, Lord, give us a special touch today of your power, of your might, but also of your mercy and your love, Lord God. And I just pray for each and every person that's come up here, Lord, that you would touch them in a special way, that you would work things out. Maybe these things happen not because of what they or their parents did or anybody did, but that the work of God might be displayed in their lives. We are to be a living witness. And Lord, I just pray for healings in every way today, Lord God, that not for us to be glorified, for you to be glorified, so that we can point to you when someone asks, how did you resolve that issue with your family? How did you resolve that issue at work? How did you resolve that physical? How did the doctors do that? It wasn't the doctors, it was the Lord. We just ask for a special touch right now, Lord God. We just believe in faith, Lord, you're going to have the victory in this, and we give this to you. You are the great physician, you're the great healer in every area of our life. We praise you, God, and we lift up our lives to you today, and we lift up your great name today. Baruch Hashem, praise you, Lord God. Lord, just comfort us today. Give us your peace that passes all understanding. Give us joy even in the midst of our chains, Lord God. We pray for that. We claim it in the name of Yeshua, the name above all names. And we thank you, God, even now, for what you're going to do. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord God. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.